Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 1039 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. My very special guest today is best-selling author Nelson DeMille.
And we're discussing not only his new book, but maybe some of his other work. But right now we're discussing The Panther. Nelson, tell us about The Panther.
Thanks, Frank. The Panther is newly released, and it's the sixth book in this series of John Corey. John Corey is a former NYPD who's now working for the Federal Joint Terrorist Task Force in Lower Manhattan, 26 Fed. And he and his wife, who's FBI Special Agent Kate Mayfield, mostly deal in domestic terrorism. But in The Panther, I have them being asked to go to Yemen, where the USS Cole was bombed, and Aden Harbor in February 2000, and to find the Panther, that's the bad guy, that's the name of the book, and that's the bad guy, and to apprehend the Panther or to eliminate the Panther. So you get that early on in the book, and they agree to go, and they head off into one of the more hostile countries in the Middle East, if not the most hostile country. And John Corey, he's not on his familiar turf. He's not on the streets of New York, but he knows what his mission is, and he will find the Panther. And his wife, of course, being FBI, wants to arrest the Panther, and John wants to kill the Panther. So that's kind of the setup for the book.
Well, it sounds terrific. And if it's anything like your other work, obviously people are going to just enjoy this immensely. Nelson, you're a former U.S. Army lieutenant, and you served in Vietnam, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. I was there November 67 to November 68, and I was with the 1st Cavalry Division, but I think maybe most people know from the movie Apocalypse Now. We were helicopter cavalry, so to speak, and I was there in mostly 68 during the Tet Offensive and the Battle of Ashau Valley and Khe Sanh and all those places that, you know, come down to us through history. And it was an interesting year, and I kind of wrote about it a little bit in two of my books, Word of Honor and also Upcountry.
Did you have the opportunity to write much while you were there on the ground in Vietnam?
No, but I did keep a journal. I was an officer, so you're supposed to keep a little bit of a journal. And I found the journal many, many years later in the trunk, and it kind of jumped my memory a little bit, and I remembered some of the, and I had my maps and that type of thing and photographs, and that's what got me to sit down and write my first Vietnam novel, Word of Honor, which was actually made into a TNT movie.
Your book was just released, and obviously you got to, you know, spend some time promoting it. How do you like that aspect of the book business? Is that your favorite, or?
Well, that's a good question, Frank. You know, it's good and it's bad, to be quite honest. The part is, you know, you go to the book signings, like I go to the Huntington Book Review and the Barnes & Nobles around Long Island, they get a chance to meet your readers who you never would normally see. And they do, you know, you do radio and TV. It's part of the job. I mean, you got to do it, and it's got mostly an upside to it, sometimes a downside. Sometimes a lot of travel. I send you on these 14-city tours to promote your book around the country. So I think you just have to accept it. I mean, your reward for finishing a book should be a rest, but it's never a rest. It's getting right back into harness and going around promoting the book. And when that's over, then you can kind of take a little bit of a break.
You know, there was always the great quote that I remember, George Bernard Shaw, I think it is, who said he doesn't like to write, but he liked had written. And right. Does that describe you, or do you like to write?
No, that describes me to a T, and I think it was short. I know that quote. I don't like writing, but I like having written. And probably 90% of the writers I know don't enjoy the process. The process is arduous. I mean, you're sitting alone in the room all day telling yourself stories. You're not seeing anybody, and they don't let you out until you finish a certain number of pages. At least, you know, you should be self-disciplined. But sometimes, you know, you look back on it. You even look back on a day's work, and you feel good about it. I usually feel good when I go home at night, but I don't enjoy the process. I don't think any more than, you know, somebody working with a jackhammer enjoys the process all day. But at the end of the day, you feel like you put in a good day's work.
Has your methodology been similar in recent years than when you started, or has it changed? Has it evolved at all?
It changed a little bit, but basically not. You know, when I first started writing, I wrote, and I'm still doing it, I'm writing longhand with a pencil on yellow pads.
And no kidding.
That hasn't changed at all. I don't use a computer. But I do use a computer a little bit to do research, internet research, which is a lot easier than you know, hiking down to the library and sitting in the stacks all day. So, yeah, technology has crept into my life. But also when I'm finished with the handwritten, I'll have an assistant type it on a computer so you can play with it a little bit on a computer. Yeah, technology is good, but, you know, it's like we all know, garbage in, garbage out. You still got to sit down and write an original first draft and a second draft, and I usually do those two drafts by hand. And the research may be easier, but you still have to kind of analyze the research you've done. Like in this book, The Panther, a lot of research on Yemen. You don't want to give the reader all of your research. You don't want to publish your research notes, but you want to, you know, maybe educate the reader a little bit about what's going on in the world. So, yeah, the process has been speeded up since I started writing in 77,
yeah.
I can believe. But it's still the same. It's still your brain. Your brain's got to work.
Do you remember the last time you had to spend extensive time researching your subject in an actual library?
Yeah, that's a good question. I call the librarian sometimes. The researchers have been very good. The public library where I live in Garden City have been very, very good.
Garden City, which is Long Island, New York.
Yeah, Garden City, Long Island. And also, you know, I still like the library. I don't go as much, but the last time was probably, to answer the question, about 7 years ago when I was writing Upcountry. There were things I needed about Saigon and about some of the hotels, and I knew that it would be a day in the library, and if I found it at all, I'd be lucky. But I had been back to Vietnam in 97 as a civilian with some friends. I knew the places I wanted to talk about in the book. One of them was like the Rex Hotel, and it turns out they had a website, and I was able to, you know, pull up the whole website and see pictures of the Rex Hotel in Saigon. That would have taken me, you know, days, if not, you know, longer in the library.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing tool, and if you use it right, it could really cut down the process so that you can get back to the creative end of it.
When you went back to Vietnam, and then just a side note here, I find it fascinating to revisit a place that you fought a war in. Were you able to go to the exact places that you spent time in? I'm sure you spent some time in the jungles there.
Yeah, most of the places. It's not an open country, as you know.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's a communist dictatorship, and a lot of places that are off limits. My old base camp of the 1st Cavalry Division was in An K, and that's off limits now because it's a Vietnamese army base camp. We couldn't get in. We tried, but they turned us away very forcefully at the gates. So, but yeah, we started off in Saigon, which is now called Ho Chi Minh City, but I still call it Saigon. And I had two other guys with me. One of the guys was with the 5th Cavalry Division, 5th Armored Cavalry, and he was down in Cu Chi, where the famous Cu Chi tunnels are. And we went down there first, and then another friend of mine was with the 3rd Marines, and he was up by the DMZ. So we worked our way up country, you know, city by city and town by town, and took us about a little over 3 weeks. And we were able to see most of our battlefields and most of the places that we had some memory of. And, 29 years had gone by, and the place had changed. But you know, once we stood there, it kind of all came back to us. And as I say, the book I wrote, which was Upcountry, is mainly on that trip I took back to Vietnam.
You know, you mentioned battlefields there. Do they glorify their battlefields the way we do in, say, like a Revolutionary or Civil War battlefields? Are there plaques there commemorating?
No, not so much plaques, but you know what you see a lot of? It's kind of disturbing. A lot of American tanks, you know, that were blown up. They probably really weren't our tanks. They were American-made, but they were probably South Vietnamese tanks. And they very much glorify the war. They call it the American War. We call it the Vietnamese War.
That's interesting.
They call it the American War. And it isn't a village that doesn't have some piece of military equipment sitting on a concrete platform that just reminds everybody that a war was fought there. But you don't really see the historical markers. Maybe that's coming. But, you know, most when I was there, it was 97, and most people still had a memory of the war. It had only been ended about 25 years before. But I'd like to go back, actually, and make that third trip back to Vietnam to see what's going on there now and how these places look. A lot of them were still war-scarred when I was there 27 years, 28 years after the war.
Are any of your books being published in Vietnam?
No, actually. That's a good question. I wish they would, but they don't. Now, it's still, you know, it's a communist country. I mean,
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, they don't, you know, we do try. Some of my books are actually being published in Arabic. Some of the books that are even have a...
That's interesting. I mean, that's interesting that they would.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm not sure it's a good idea, but it's okay. You know, they can read it if they want to read it. Maybe they'll learn something.
We've been with Nelson DeMille, acclaimed author, best-selling author, Nelson DeMille, and his new book is The Panther, and it is out, and it is in stores, and it is supposed to be wonderful. Nelson, any final words?
No, I am now on Twitter. This is new to me. It's talking about technology, and I'm also on Facebook. They can visit me there, and I have a website, nelsondeville.net, and I'm happy to hear from everybody.
Nelson DeMille has been our guest. Thank you, Nelson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. Our special guest has been Nelson DeMille, best-selling author, Nelson DeMille. This is Frank McKay. We will see you next time on Breaking It Down.